Good morning. How's everybody? Good. I hope that after singing songs with such promise and songs of such hope that you have a smile on your face, or at least there's a smile on your heart inside somewhere. You know what I mean? So can I see everybody smile? Good. Like, I don't know if you came in here with a heavy burden on your shoulders. Sometimes that's just inevitable. It's the life that we live. We live life, and it's full of burdens. But we serve a God who says, cast all your burdens on me. And he allows us to walk through life with confidence, with our heads held high, and with smiles on our faces, because we're placing our trust in a God who does not fail. So I hope this morning's message, by the time that we're done with this morning's message, that you have lifted, you will be feeling uplifted. I mean, I can't preach this message I can't go through what we're about to go through without just the sense of relief, sense of hope, sense of joy, and such of, you got everything under control, God. Amen? Amen. So I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it that you would have me share with your people this morning? And he said very clear to me, as clear as can be, he says, I want you to remind them of my steadfast love and my faithfulness. My steadfast love and my faithfulness. I did this in the first service, and I was going to do it again. So everybody say, hallelujah, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness in my life. Hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness in my life. Amen. Okay. Don't open your Bibles this morning. Don't do it. Because if you try to follow along, you're going to get lost. We've got them up on the screen here this morning. We're going to be going through a lot of verses this morning, because steadfast love and the faithfulness of God is mentioned over and over and over and over and over again in Scripture. And we could spend like an entire month or an entire series on the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. But here we are, we're here today, and we're going to dive into it. The first time that it's mentioned, God reveals himself. If you know anything about God and if you read Scripture, you see that God actually does this thing where he reveals a little bit more about himself as history envelops. And as time goes on, God, through the history, through the ages, has revealed more and more about himself. The first time that we hear God describe of himself and reveal himself as steadfast love and faithfulness is all the way back in Exodus 33. And here's the context of this scene. Moses had just gone up to Sinai just a little bit while before, and he had gone up there, and he was up on the top of the mountain with God, and he had a moment encounter with God in the dwelling place of the Lord, right? He encountered the glory of God to the point where God was like, all right, I'm going to write these, I want you to cut out some 2 tablets of stone, and I'm going to write out my law on them, and it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be gracious. So he just I want you to imagine Moses now just having been in the presence of God, just like his deep encounter with the Lord. And he's got these 2 tablets with the 10 commandments on them, and he's strolling down Mount Sinai. And all of a sudden, he hears this roar in the camp of Israel. And he's like, oh, right, they're all ready to accept this. They're all ready to receive what God has for them. And he comes to the bottom of this mountain, and they are worshiping a golden calf. They are worshiping, and they're dancing, and they're shouting. And I want you to imagine you're Moses right now, having just encountered a revelation from God. And so what actually Moses does is he sees this taking place, and he takes these 2 tablets that God had inscribed his law on, and he just smashes them on the ground and breaks them in half. And so they're just destroyed. In Exodus, 2 chapters later, God calls Moses to go back. He says, look, I want you to go and cut out 2 more stones. And I want you to learn something about me in this moment, that those are my people. And I made a covenant to those people. And I promised myself to those people. And I swore to myself on my own name to be the God of love and faithfulness in their life. And he says to Moses in Exodus 34, chapter 6, when he's telling him to go back up and cut 2 more tablets out so he can write it all over again, he says this, I am the Lord their God. I am merciful and I am gracious. I am abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. These words in Scripture have such depth and such meaning. Sometimes we just throw them around as steadfast love and faithfulness, but I hope that you'll be able to see this morning just the depth and the breadth of these words. You know, some scholars say that We can't fully translate this Hebrew word. The word is chesed. Everybody say chesed with a little you got another gut in your H. Chesed, that's it, Tone. Chesed. It's an amazing word, and some scholars say that it can't fully be translated because of its breadth and its depth. There's so much that it is wrapped up into this word that is translated steadfast love. And the reason why that they say it's unable to be fully translated is because as it's been used over and over again in Scripture, as you finger through Scripture and you see the steadfast love and faithfulness of God revealed, the depth of the meaning actually grows larger and larger and larger. It actually gains meaning throughout Scripture as the Lord uses this word chesed. And it's an amazing word, and it translates in words like loving kindness or love or long suffering. But one author, one scholar says that you cannot convey the depth of the meaning here. And this is how he says it. I like this, and I want to share it with you. He said, this chesed, steadfast love, is an unyielding, covenanted love. It's not a love that is contracted. It's a love that is bound to God. He says it's an unyielding covenant love that does not forget, and it does not give up. Think about that for just a second. The steadfast love of the Lord is a love that is birthed in the covenant that he has made to creation. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I will be your God. You will always be my people, and I will provide you with everything you need in life. It's a love that does not yield. It's a love that does not forget. It's a love that does not give up. This is a love that remembers the covenant of blessing long after the covenant partner has forgotten it. This is the love of a shepherd who leaves the 99 to search for that one who is lost in Matthew 18. This is the love of a father who deeply yearns to be reconciled with his prodigal son, found in Luke 15. And the scholar says this: to say that this is God's loyal and unfailing love is probably just not enough. It goes beyond loyalty. It goes beyond expectation. It goes beyond obligation. This is a love that God remembers me even after I have forgotten about him. That's steadfast love. The faithfulness of God, the Hebrew word there is used, emeth, emeth. And this word signifies a reliability. It is a word that rests in the secure and the stability of a God who is truth, a God who cannot go back on truth. You see, he is the originator of all things that are truth. And so the faithfulness of God is embedded in his truth. Truth comes from him. It is all his. He establishes what absolute truth is. And if he is the one who establishes what that truth is, then he is also the one to hold himself accountable to that truth. He is the God who is most trustworthy, the God who you can rely on and depend upon. Steadfast love is a covenant, faithful love. And this faithfulness speaks, again, of a stability, a dependency. This is a faithfulness of complete trustworthy and dependability. I don't know about you guys, but how badly do you need to depend on the faithfulness of God in your life? It's everything, right? If God says that these things are truth, if he is the originator of truth, and he says that he's going to do, and he's going to do everything that he's revealed in his word, and that he's going to do everything that he promised to do without fail, man, that is an absolute dependability we need upon God, our Father. The faithfulness of God. This is a character trait. This is a quality of the nature of God that cannot be changed. He is faithful to himself. And because he's faithful to himself, all who trust in his faithfulness are then beneficiaries of his faithfulness. Amen? And so what we're going to look at this morning are these two words throughout Scripture. And we're going to look at seven things that the Scripture promises us about the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. One more thing I just want to say before we look into that. I want you to know that steadfast love, the steadfast constant, covenanted love and faithfulness of God is the foundation upon which every action that God makes is made from. It is derived out of his steadfast love and faithfulness. Everything that has ever happened in history, everything that will happen in the future, comes from his steadfast love and faithfulness to his people. Amen? Amen. So how does this intersect with our lives? How does the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord intersect with our lives? Here's the first way it does this. I have them written up here. And if you want to write them down, that'd be fantastic, because this is the promises that Scripture show us. The steadfast love, the chesed and efeth of the Lord God, causes us to walk confidently in him. Listen to the way David keeps his eyes on the steadfast love of the Lord in Psalm 26. I don't have it all up there, but listen with your ears this morning. The psalmist says, "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord, and I have not faltered." So listen to the confidence in his words here. "Test me, Lord. Try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love, and I have lived in the reliance on your faithfulness." Oh, man. What confidence in those words to be able to say to the living God, "Test me, God. Try me. Examine my heart and my mind, because I am blameless before you." Why? Because I have fixated myself on your steadfast love. Another translation says that your steadfast love is before my eyes at all times, and I actually walk every day in your faithfulness. Allow that to just build you up this morning. There is a measure of spiritual confidence that comes as we abide and we fixate ourselves on the steadfast love and the faithfulness of God. The writer of Hebrews even says that when we hold fast to the confidence and hope that we have in this steadfast love and faithfulness, that we are indeed actually then children of the household of God. When we hold fast to the confidence and the hope that is found in the chesed and the efeth of God, the steadfast love and faithfulness of God, we are then found to indeed be children of the household of God. Perhaps it's a desire of yours today to be able to stand and walk in the spiritual journey with confidence. If it's not your journey, I mean, if it's not your desire, I know that it is God's desire for you. And it's something that you can obtain. And it's found right here in Psalms. That this level of spiritual confidence is obtained as we continually, day in and day out, keep our eyes fixed on the love of God that is embedded in his covenant to us and his faithfulness to us. It cannot be changed. It cannot be removed. And so I ask you, where in life do you feel insecure? Where in life do you feel timid? Where in your life do you feel unstable? This is your stability, church. This is your confidence. This is your security. And so let your mind once again dwell on the truth that the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord is yours. And I encourage you this morning to let your insecure self-talk, you know what I'm talking about? That I don't know if I match up. God, I'm such a failure. I've messed up again and again. I just disappoint everybody that's around me. I just can't seem to get it right. I'm imploring you, church, to let your insecure self-talk bow to the living God. And the truth that his steadfast love and his faithfulness causes you to walk confidently in his purposes for your life. I just spit all over the communion, guys. We won't use this one. No, just kidding. Can I encourage you, church, that clamor of self-doubt and self-talk that just tears yourself down, force it to bow to the knee. Bow its knee to the living God whose steadfast love and faithfulness is constant and cannot be broken. Amen? And build yourself up with it so that you walk through life confident. So you're able to say, just like the psalmist and David said, Lord, I have trusted in you and I have not faltered. Test me. Bring it on, God. Try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I've always keep your steadfast love and faithfulness before me at all times. Amen? Walk confidently. The steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord causes you to walk confidently, and this is his desire for you. Secondly, the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord leads us. It is your guidance. It is what leads us in every path. The psalmist says in Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord, all the paths, all the roads of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, I don't want anyone to feel guilty and ashamed right now with that second part of that. It says, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The truth of the reality is that, and the beauty of this passage is that we now have the ability to look forward. Well, actually, we look back to the cross, right? We look forward. We are able to look back upon the cross because no man is able to fulfill and keep his end of the covenant. No human has ever been able to do that. Time and time again, we as a people have rebelled against God and we forsake his covenant that he's made with us. But the joy that we have this morning, the confidence that we have this morning is that thanks be to God that while we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us. This is God's steadfast love and faithfulness at its climax. And that is what we're going to come around the table of the Lord this morning to celebrate, is that he takes the initiative, is that he made a covenant upon himself. He made the covenant and he bound the covenant to himself. So he actually made a double covenant with himself. It's actually really cool as the writer of Hebrews talks about that. It cannot be broken, church. And Jesus dying for your sins and my sins is the climax of that steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen. When we have forgotten about God, he remembers us and he remembers his covenant. Oh. When we forget about God and we lose track in our day-to-day lives and we get crippled by fear and the things that distract us, know that the steadfast love and faithfulness of God is constant to you. Amen? Amen. Number three. God's love and faithfulness are constant through changes. Amen. Isaiah 54:10. This is coming from the New Living Translation. It says, for the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy upon you. Oh, what an amazing promise that is. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear. Think about the drastic change that the earth has to go through for a mountain to be moved or a hill to be disappeared, right? Think about the thousands of years and how the landscape of earth has changed. Mountains and rivers and hills have come up and mountains have been removed. Think about the time lapse here of change that has happened in the landscape of earth. And just apply that to your life, right? And how the things in our lives are constantly changing. Sometimes they're small changes. Sometimes they're massive mountain-moving changes, right? The promise that Scripture gives to us, the promise that the Lord is saying to you to be reminded about, is that the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord is constant through all the changes in your life, no matter how big or how small. What changes are taking place in your life, today, at this season of your life? What changes are happening? Do you have some small changes going on? Do you have some really big changes going on? Would you be reminded this morning that God's steadfast love and faithfulness is with you, constant through each and every change. His steadfast love and faithfulness is present with you, for you, to you, right now. It's good news. Amen? Amen. Number four, the steadfast love and faithfulness of God is vast, and it is given to those who love Him. Psalm 35:36-5 says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Oh, so continue your steadfast love, O God, to those who know you." I'm spitting everywhere here this morning. This is good news. "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Oh, so God, continue your steadfast love to those who know you." Have you ever felt as though God has used up all his love on somebody else? Have you ever felt that God's faithfulness and love is given in greater measure or quantity to somebody else than to you? "Oh, God, look at their lives. They look so successful. They look like they've got it all together." Man, those are false thoughts. Those are false thoughts. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior and your sins have been atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ, then the steadfast love and faithfulness of God is vast. And it is poured out upon those who are His. Amen? It's vast. There is never He doesn't run out of His love. His faithfulness cannot run out. It is constant because it is who He is. God is love. He is faithful because He is truth. We know what love is and we know what truth is simply because He has revealed that to us of Himself. It all originates with Him. It all rests in Him. It's vast and there's plenty of it to go around. And the beauty this morning and the hope that we share is that God this morning has shared His vast love and faithfulness to the world. And He offers it to every man, every woman, and child of every creed, every economic barrier, racial barrier. This is the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. It's constant because it is who He is. There is enough to go around and it does not deplete. Amen. Number five. I need to see some more smiles, man. Please. Encourage me with your smile. Thank you, my Jewish brother. How do you say chesed, man? Yes, it's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, front rack chesed. I love it. Number five, the steadfast love and the faithfulness of the Lord brings deliverance. Everybody say amen. Amen. The steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord brings deliverance. Listen to the words of David as he's fleeing for his life from King Saul. "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look upon you for protection. I hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High." We were encouraged to do that this morning, weren't we? We were encouraged this morning to do that in worship. "I cry out to you, God, my Most High, to the God who will fulfill His purposes for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue and deliver me, disgracing those who hound me." And here it is. Ready? This is what's up there. "My God will send forth His unfailing love and faithfulness." Church, this is a promise that is given to you. He will. It's His desire. It is His will to send forth His constant love and faithfulness directly into your circumstance. Have you ever been in a similar state of mind as David? Right? Like, I kind of put myself in David's shoes when I read about him and he's fleeing for his life in the cave. And he's stuck in the cave. And man, God did an awesome work in David's heart when he was running for his life alone in that cave. And have you ever sensed the trepidation of not knowing what's coming next? And it's just like the fear and the restlessness that comes when you think about the near future or even the far off future. Do you have a similar experience as David, where you're just kind of consumed with fear constantly? And so I ask you this morning, in what area of your life do you need deliverance? In what area of your life do you need deliverance? In what area of your life do you need God to send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness? Can I remind you this morning that God will, he will, he will, he will, he will. And I'm staking my life on it, church. He will send forth his steadfast love and faithfulness to deliver you. That is a promise of the living God. And then once again, it requires us to do something, and that is to fixate our eyes and to lock our eyes on his steadfast love and faithfulness. Just as constantly it is being shown upon our lives, we need to be constantly having our eyes fixated. I think about it as a spotlight. My wife and I had the privilege of going to see our own Sam DiCecco this past Friday do a musical at Lower Merion High School. And there's these spotlights. And the spotlights are obviously on the actors and the actresses. And man, that just came upon me that this is the constant, steadfast, covenanted love and faithfulness of God. As a constant beam shining upon your life and your circumstance and whatever it is that you're going through. Keep your eyes locked on, fixated upon the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. Amen? Amen. And you will watch your fears tremble before the Lord your God. That is the reality. Number 6, the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord brings correction. Psalm 119, 75. Here it is, right? I'm going to read the whole thing. I know some of it's up there. Listen to this. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. So now let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise. Do you see the use of these two words in a completely different context? The faithful, in your faithfulness, because you are faithful to who you are, because you're true to your word, you have afflicted me. So now, God, let your steadfast love be my comfort in the affliction. Have you ever gone through the Bible and looked up the word affliction and how many times it's written? Have you ever read the context of affliction? Oh my goodness, there is such beauty and goodness that is attached to this word. The word affliction means to be humbled. It means to be brought low. It is actually, in other words, it means that something is taking place in your life to force you to be brought low and be humbled before the living God. To the point where the psalmist, when he's talking about affliction, he says in verse 71 of Psalm 119, he says, it is good for me to be afflicted by you. It is good for me to have been afflicted because I might never learn your statutes. And what that means is he's saying, in other words, God, if it was not for your affliction, if you had not brought me to a place where I'm forced to be humbled in your presence, then I would have never known the purposes that you have for my life. That's the beauty of affliction. It brings us to a place of humility that recognizes that, man, in the grand scheme of things, I am dust that God has breathed life into. He is the living God. And from him comes steadfast love and faithfulness. Oh God, in your faithfulness you've afflicted me. So now let your steadfast love comfort me. If it was not for your affliction, O Lord, I would have never have known what you have planned for my life. It's a love and an affliction that we all experience in parenting, isn't it? It's like, I love you, my child. My kids right now, I don't think my kids are in this room right now. My kids, you know, there's affliction of the affliction that my children see are the fact that all electronics and TV screens go off. To them, it's like, my world is over, right? And it's a correction. It's a correction. There's a reason why we're not allowing the electronics to be on right now. It's because I love you too much. There's a different path. There's a different path for you, and I need you to have time that is not distracted from these things that are just shoved in our faces all the time so that you can have time to think about what's going on and why this punishment is yours and why this correction is being given to you, because I love you too much to let you go down that path. I love you way too much to let you go down that path. It's the same type of love. The steadfast love of the Lord brings correction. So how do we apply God's steadfast love and faithfulness? For those of you who love to have a sermon application to every message, here it is. Ready? Like, how do you apply this? It seems like God's doing all the giving. He's doing all the pouring out. It's your steadfast love, and we're just in the, all right, just pour it out, God. Just receive it. I will just receive it. Right? And sometimes we could easily just get lost in there, but you know we do have, there is an application. And here it is. You throw it up at me? There it is, Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, children of God, be imitators of God. Amen? It's so simple right there. Imitate the nature and the character of God. Steadfast love and faithfulness are His. They originate from Him. They come out of His being. So as children of God who live in His family, we are called to be imitators of God. Amen? One of the passages that I've been dwelling on for actually months recently, the Lord is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. And if you ever come, I know you've come across it if you read Proverbs. And the kind of the context, if you can have context in Proverbs, is that the author is saying, look, this is of so much value to you. To have the wisdom of God, to have His mind and His heart in your life and exercised and lived out in your life is the best, most valuable thing for you in life. We're going to do a series on wisdom in the new year. I can't wait for that. But here in Proverbs 3:3, it says this, and this is for all of us this morning. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind it around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. What a powerful scripture that is. And here it is. There's a level of understanding here that this is not something that we're only to receive, but it's something that we also are to share and demonstrate in every area of our lives. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, church. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. This is God's best for you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. No matter what you do, stay close to it. It is something where we're not only supposed to know and understand it for ourselves, but to make it known in every area of our lives. Amen? This is what God has called us as the church, as His children and His family, to be about. To be people who have received the steadfast love and faithfulness of God and to understand that it is constant, never ceasing, never ending. And then we go and share it in every sphere of our lives. From the early days of the covenant that God has made to His people, He has expressed this, that you and I would maintain the same covenant loyalty and responsibility so that He could grow a righteous family. That's why. His desire is to grow a righteous family and make it bigger and bigger and bigger so that more men and more women and every child on the face of the earth can know the steadfast love and faithfulness, the constant, unending, covenanted love and faithfulness of our Lord. So as we begin to draw this to a close this morning, I ask you this question. In what areas of your life is God calling you to imitate his steadfast love and faithfulness? In what areas of your life is God calling you to imitate his steadfast love and faithfulness? Could I ask you, Mike and worship team, to join us? Join me up on stage, and we are going to, at this time, come around the table of the Lord. So I would also ask those of you who are going to distribute the emblems to join me up on stage, and just join me right here, and just hold on for just a moment, okay? Just come on up and just get prepared to divvy it out to everybody. In what areas of your life is God calling you to imitate his steadfast love and faithfulness? And here's the number 7. Just one second, Mike, Orlando. Here's number 7. That's holy spit, man. Here's number 7, church. The steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord made atonement for our iniquity. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
The steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord made atonement for our iniquity. Proverbs 16:6 says, by steadfast love and faithfulness, through steadfast love and faithfulness, because of steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. Iniquity is atoned for. And church, this is where our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, comes onto the scene. The Son of God was birthed on this earth because of his covenanted love and faithfulness of God to his people. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity is sin, but it is so much more than just sin. Iniquity is sin that runs so deep, and it is bedded so deep in our hearts, our minds, and even culture and society, that we don't even recognize it as sin anymore. It is just a normal way of life. It is how we operate every day. And the root of the word iniquity there is actually means that our conscience doesn't even recognize it. We can't even see it. Our conscience can't even wrap our heads around it until God humbles us in his presence to see it. And the humility that we're all brought to, the greatest act of humility, is Jesus Christ laying down everything for your sake. And it's when we come face to face with that absolute pure humility of Jesus Christ that our eyes are opened to the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. And our iniquity and the iniquity of the world is atoned for through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because God chose to demonstrate his constant love and faithfulness to the world, all iniquity is atoned for. Wow. The deep sin that runs so deep and embedded in us is atoned for through the steadfast love in Jesus of Jesus Christ. And so the hope that we share today, church, the hope that we celebrate this morning is that we belong to a faithful and loving God who does not forsake his own. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't poured out his love in any greater measure to the person to your left than he has to you. All of it is given to us. All of it. And so at this time, I'm going to ask the ushers to distribute these emblems as Mike and the worship team just sing these songs, and I just want you to hold on to them, and I want you to think about this passage, this right here, Proverbs 16, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. All your iniquity has been atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ.